What's up?
Hey.
Welcome to What's Up, eh? That's when we check in with Andrea Allen. What does she do here? Who knows? But her personal life is so exciting, isn't it?
Who even knows? Who cares?
Things get done. I enjoy it. It's best if I don't know. When I know, there's trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay? The executive producer, I believe, is my official title.
I think you should just write that in
executive
the bottom of an
accountant, CEO.
You should write something like that at the bottom of your email and see the first person who notices gets like a free whatever the fuck.
Perfect.
Something.
Professionalism.
I change it every day for guests. I go, this is our accountant.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
How about King?
This is our King. The other day it was entertainment lawyer. Mm-hmm.
That'd be great if we just introduce everybody as Andrea's our entertainment lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then she gets them because she's the one who gets them to sign the papers.
I just stare at them the whole time. Don't you say anything like that.
And then change your clothes and come out and go, and this is Andrea's twin. I'm not sure what they do.
You know what is funny though? It's always interesting to see how people treat Andrea.
Oh yeah, like a litmus test on how they are as a person.
Kind of. Yeah. Because some people are like, oh, it's so nice to meet you, and they're coming up to us and whatever, and they'll like wave at you or something or turn around or
hey,
like,
hey, little guy, what are you doing in the corner over there?
Like not like they might not pay attention to you, and then you know. Sometimes I'll notice that and I'll say something that will, I don't know.
Raise me up.
Well, I can kind of see where their stupid brain is going because I think that's stupid. I think just be nice to everybody in the room on the same level as everybody else. You're
sure.
Here for a reason.
I stand next to Andrea as if she's playing a guitar solo and I'm the lead singer. Mm-hmm. And you need to pay attention to her now.
I do notice some people who have really personal relationships with you are just excited to see you guys. So I don't take that.
True.
You know,
that's
especially
true.
There's people who don't only see you in here, so they want to like catch up with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm this weirdo being like, hey, can you sign the thing? And there's a photo booth.
And also, a lot of times, this, you know, we're sitting at this table, so they're facing us and you're behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're talking to, let's say, me, and I'm just like, I really think Andrea can answer this better.
Oh, thank you.
So I'll just bring you in. I'm just like, oh yeah, Andrea told me something about that yesterday. Andrea?
Andrea, is it raining?
No, I just stare.
We'll be on other people's shows and we deliberately say hi to everybody. And you can tell nobody says hi to some of these people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I do the cameras. What?
Right.
Just saying hi. Okay. Back at you.
Yeah.
My least favorite type of person is someone who thinks I'm like creating an imposition by making them do pre-show stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most annoying. Like if you kind of just treat me like I'm some whatever person that I don't care because I'm kind of like, all right, well, that's who you are. Noted, right. Whatever. But whenever they're wanting to talk to you and I'm like, okay, this is fun, but like, this is my job to do this. And they're like, oh, what's the deal with the foot? And I'm like, okay, you know that you had to do this. I'm not doing this for my own personal. I don't want your signature for my own personal collection of consent forms that I love. Yes, I want to make you go into this photo booth and have you be a weirdo about it, how it looks bad. I love it. I love it.
I like how she starts responding to people because this is like an ongoing thing. Mm. People are like, oh, what am I signing here? That's always the joke. Like, mm-hmm. What am I signing? And she comes up with different things every time.
Sure.
Like, I just own your baby now. Or like,
now that you'll fuck me. Now please come into this photo booth where I'll fuck you. Freak. Didn't you read the email?
And you just hold the paper they signed up. We fuck now.
Right?
In the booth. And you're still not reading it.
Yeah. People are so self-conscious. The photo booth is just a very social maneuver. There's all this encouragement that's involved
yes!
with it. Like, you look great. I love this. Genuinely, I love this. You can't tell. I don't give a fuck.
Actually, I couldn't tell.
I didn't know I was going to be have photos taken. Oh, what are we going to do now? Get in the booth. You're not getting on mic until you get in the fucking booth. So we can do it one of two ways. I can be like, oh, it's crazy. Or you look great.
It's funny when you see...
Get in the booth!
Either on social media or our website, the photo booth, and you see, you know, 2x2, you see 4 pictures of somebody. Uh-huh. The way a photo booth takes them. Sometimes you only see 1 picture. Why is that?
You know what? I like when I see on people's profile that they use the photo booth picture. I'm just
They're
like,
beautiful.
Okay, it's nice, you know, because right. I do hear a lot of yapping while Andrea's in the photo booth mm-hmm. with them explaining it to her.
And
you
know what? The whole fucking thing.
I never heard any negativity. And now that you mention it, I totally believed you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're so good. Because she's like, oh, you're so photogenic. Ooh, that's a good one.
Gorgeous. I see these every fucking day. I don't give a shit. This is so unique. Are you going to make a goofy face? How great. So original. I don't give a shit. Take the film.
And then, you know what? Okay, tell me how you feel when I do this, because I'm thrilled about the photo booth. Mm-hmm. I'm so thrilled about it that more than once a week, Andrea has to tell the guest who's like just got in the booth, and I'm like, take two rounds. Like, do the whole thing.
Please don't take two rounds. Yeah, I don't want to continue this.
Okay, so now I know. Because Andrea's like, Hemda loves the photo booth. Like, she just, yeah. I hear her telling the guests, like, she can't get enough of the photo booth. So.
No, that's actually fun because I get to deflect it onto you. Like, this dummy, this is why you got to do it. Because my dumb boss loves it. She's so dumb. Anyways, take the fucking picture.
It's actually.
Please, I'm begging you.
It's part of why I do it, because I hear that they are, like, feeling self-conscious and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, do two rounds. Like,
yeah.
And then they like calm down about how, because they're thinking like they're going to take a round. You're going to pick the shittiest picture. Sure.
They don't realize there's four too. It's like there's four in a row. It's whenever people, when there's one photo, it's because someone goes, use that one. That's my best one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And usually, like sometimes it'll be a person I genuinely like and I'll be like, yeah, okay, I'll go into Photoshop and do that for you. Or there's like a Michelle Collins where like it's a big fucking problem. So I'll just be like, yeah, I will use that one so that you don't fucking lose your mind.
But, and she was the most specific.
Oh my God, she's out of control. But
it says something about the personality when you have to pick one picture. And I get nobody wants bad pictures out there, but neither do we.
Yeah.
We want your bad picture out there.
That's true. And we also are supposed to, Libby told us to change our timeline and not only put four pictures. And so sometimes I'll put, you know, one pick, not in our timeline. I'm not allowed to touch it, but.
Oh, yeah. God. Get in fucking trouble for that. I delete a tweet. I get my fucking pussy cut off.
Libby stuff.
Did you delete a tweet? Like, how did you even know? Do you have a zapper?
You know what I thought of recently? That is the same as Keith's grammar thing. Everyone's like, oh, Keith is so like this. But at the end of the day, Keith goes, is it right? Mm-hmm. Okay, then. Everybody be quiet.
I know she's right. You're all right. I love the booth. It's fine.
Except I allow other people to write things down. See what I'm saying?
No, it's just a different job.
Well, the best photo booth one is when I go in there and they just look dopey and every single photo is the same face. It's just four of them going, duh, deep, And then that's also where there'll be just one because I'm like, how am I going to release this?
Can you release one like that?
Look, because we have guest Rojo Perez staring four times directly into the camera. You're on TV. I thought maybe you might know how cameras work.
I do feel weird saying this now that I'm single, that Michelle Collins, we did go out and very cool and personable.
Oh, nice.
The woman from The View. And
did you pick her up?
She will tell you in private all about Bachelor in Paradise and the goings on. And
that's all you wanted to know. So
right.
You guys are getting married.
Now I know, hey, this could be a potential date. No, I'm not climbing her like a mountain. Mm-hmm. We're just talking normally, right? I got a high chair. She didn't even know. Everything Congrats. Went great.
I'm really excited for your new life choice.
Yeah, I like people.
Maybe you should start drinking again because that's fucking crazy.
This is your first week, right?
Yeah.
Do you even feel a difference?
It's only been a couple of days. No. Right.
Mm. Did you feel any difference right away?
No.
No?
Mm-mm. I didn't feel. The only difference I immediately felt within the first few weeks was the sleeping thing. But you go to sleep pretty late. I know because we're IMing voice notes back and forth
right.
like idiots. But I think that's the first physical symptom I had was not being able to sleep because I was used to the sugar rush of alcohol and also like the rise of alcohol and then crashing.
Now, people can't stop warning me about this sugar rush.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's going to come or not. Calm down. You know, like,
you'll see. The sugar,
you're going to need it. It's going to be worse even.
You're going to be chugging bags of sugar up your ass.
But is everybody drinking daiquiris? Where's all the sugar coming from?
There's a lot of sugar in beer.
There's a lot of sugar in most alcohols.
Mm-hmm.
a lot, like so much that people have a separate diet for their drinks. You know, like I'm only allowed this and it's all sugar based.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet I'll be all right.
I hope so. I think, yeah.
Sure. You look so skinny already.
I feel great. I feel like I can jump mountains.
Your skin's going to be so beautiful. You're going to be, you get to look forward to actually one of the fattest, drunkest photos taken of me ever was Sean Tucker's documentary about Keith and the Girl.
I didn't even know. Now I got to go back and look.
Oh, it's so
good.
Where
is that?
You used it as like a still for one of your video previews for this wonderful documentary. And it's like,
I mean, we must have thought you looked good.
Oh yeah, God, a roly-poly. It's like Andrea, the title says Andrea Allen, comedian, next to me, and I'm wearing a fur coat and my this fat red face, and it's like I love comedy and drinking and Keith and the Girl.
It couldn't have been that better. We wouldn't have let it in.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I looked like. And now I look at pictures now of my face and I'm like, I had a whole extra face on top of my face this whole time. So you will get that thin face and the bright eyes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to look even younger.
They turn green.
Sure. Yeah.
You can see, I do remember putting you on widescreen during that section. If you go to the free video feed, keithandgirl.com/video, you'll see the documentary
My
there.
Fat drunk face.
It is such an incredible documentary.
It is very well done.
Yeah.
And this guy worked around Andrea's moonhead. Mm-hmm. You know?
And we didn't even notice.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What a filmmaker. Uh-huh. So now, okay. So this week.
What a week.
Oh, Jesus. My God.
I got a bladder infection from this whole week.
Keith and
By the way, can you imagine you keep getting bladder infections and you don't even drink?
I know.
What's going on?
Think about when I used to drink. I just was a bladder infection.
Plants are growing.
Yeah.
Cranberry came out of there.
Yeah. I was just a blimp with yeast carrying me around like Ursula, but made of beer. And
all right. So I guess it's better.
Pussy juice. Oh, it's way better. You're going to love it.
So what was it? Was it on Sunday? Yeah,
yeah.
Sunday. Keith and Ann come in. I think you came in just before the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, a few minutes before the show, mm-hmm. and just brought the weirdest fucking vibes.
We were like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I didn't know. I was like, I can't even begin to guess what's happening. Honestly, the way you guys were looking at each other, can I?
We were engaged.
Sure. Yeah. I thought you two were dating. I was like, is this? I don't even fucking know, but maybe they've been dating this whole time. Even though he just got out of divorce and Anna's with someone. Anne killed her partner. Like, what?
It was so weird. And at first I was like, this is exciting. Because every time Keith comes in like that, it's never been like that exact vibe. But when he comes in, it's like, oh, here comes a story. Something ridiculous happened. So I know something ridiculous happened. But the look on his face was different. And I'm not used to Anne looking like that. And so
she was losing her fucking mind.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I could imagine. If you've never been on mic before and now you're about to go on mic and break the biggest story of, I don't know.
Right, right.
We overshot your tumor by surprise. And so now she has to calmly be there. And I'm taking pictures of her and having her sign stuff.
Come into the booth.
Yeah, get in the booth. Hey, Ann. You seem fucking weirded out. Let's take four pictures. You take photos. I take photos. This isn't weird.
And so I'm trying to remain calm because It's going to be good news. And if it's bad news, it's still going to be good news. It's exciting. And so I really...
Anne's pregnant.
And today, like in studio, we reveal who the daddy is.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
It's Andrea. I don't know.
I don't know, guys, but here's the envelope. I didn't look.
So I liked it in a way that like, I was like, oh, this is like I'm a listener. You know, I'm just like, I'm excited and nervous because first I was excited and then... Just too much time passed. And I know it was just minutes, but too much time passed until I was like, fuck this. I'm the co-host. I am too, like, this is so it became nerve wracking. Mm-hmm. I text Keith. I go, is everything okay? And as I'm texting him, I'm like, what a dumb question. Yes, everything is okay.
Yeah, you're so dumb.
I hate that question in general, but okay. I just want him to give me like the thumbs up because when you were out of the room, I'm like, is this good news or bad news? And I'm like, why am I even asking this? You know, I don't want to ruin the surprise for me, but also like, what's she going to say? It's bad news. Now wait some more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That's true. It's the worst.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you're going to like it. And I'm like, what could I possibly like? Like, what could possibly have happened that he looks like that?
Dead? Come on.
So she goes, you're going to like it. And then she paused and she goes, I think. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't. I shouldn't have asked. It's not her fault. No. She's still trying to stay in that. Right. And also she just went through it. Like,
totally.
There's a whole thing of she didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And people are relying on her without even like, you know, realizing it. She's probably the only sober person around at the moment, period, end of story.
Does Anne drink?
Yes.
Yeah.
She does. But
she doesn't mind.
But she was driving. She couldn't.
No, she wasn't drinking on the way. Yeah. Here.
Right. So
one last one before you enter the threshold of the studio.
You were gonna die anyway.
Yeah.
We should have made up that she was pregnant. And like I leave the room and you go, what's going on?
Oh,
and
God.
She goes, well, it's good news if you want to be an aunt, in quotes.
But that'd be fine, like, you know, but it was just so nerve-wracking. And then, okay, so here's what happened on the show. Keith goes, okay, I'm going to quit drinking, however you said it. And then both of them, and I could be wrong, like, you know how time is so weird in those moments? Mm-hmm. I felt like you both just looked at me and just was like, blink, 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 blink. Just like,
what do you think?
Right. Oh, good for you. I'm just like, that wasn't a question. You just exclaimed things and now I'm supposed to react.
I don't think we did it that way.
You know what? And I totally, as I'm saying it, just so you know, time was weird.
Right.
I don't remember what I said or how I responded. Even that night, I'm like, did I jump into, like, you apologized to me and I jumped into don't worry about it sort of thing. I was trying not to do don't worry about it or feel like a piece of shit. I was just trying to be like, let's hear the rest of your story. You know what I mean? And also, to be frank, and this is not taking anything back, you were like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, do I ask you for what? Or do we just like understand?
List it.
Do you know what I mean? And then I was like, no, listing is bad. And like, I don't, thank you. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I guess you're sorry for what you are to be sorry about.
Thank you very much.
I had Anne ready to answer. So you would have said, what do you mean? Be more specific. And I go, Anne, go ahead.
You have a list that I wrote last night when I was falling down the stairs.
So how did I deal with it?
You did great. You saw, and you also saw how you did great. I was going to say how other people wrote in, but to me, great.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like you were, like you said, especially like when I was reading the feedback, a lot of things that stuck with me was that you were not playing the victim of the situation, which is like, it's clear that's you being Al-Anon showed. And also like your two's friendship as it is now was very clear in that moment.
I think this whole year has been different. This whole year has been different. And there was something about coming back from the tumor that was part of it. You know, I was asking myself, like, how much do I love my job? I was trying to get out of a tumor to, like, you know,
tumor is getting out come of you. Back. I don't know if you know how that works.
No, I didn't, apparently.
So throw me in the garbage?
Yeah.
Well, what I realized, I think, you know, I thought about it and I think I came to it this morning or last night, is that this show was always very, 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 very fun and I looked forward to it. And then because it became your podcasters, your entrepreneurs, your pioneers, I was like, yeah, business. And I was like, this is how business. And I put myself in like, we need to do things this way and that way. And I'm like, same results. Plus, I don't give a shit. Plus, Keith and I are not doing well in that space, you know, of like, so now we got to do that. And then I'm like, why don't I go back into the studio, have fun on the show. And if we can do the business end of it, then we survive. And if we can't, I don't go above and beyond businessing it. Mm-hmm. Right. Do you know what I mean? And it turns out we're back. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like,
totally.
See, again, like,
I forgive you. Yeah.
Same results, but I like happier. How did you feel that day? Because you had a day. Oh, my God.
No, I mean, I was very happy for you, Keith. I wasn't. Yes,
let's not make this about Keith. How did we feel about it?
No, it wasn't. Okay, so before the big Anne's big announcement.
Let's just call it Anne's big announcement.
There was me and Emily recorded a Hot Mess Comedy Hour in the studio. We started the podcast at 11 a.m. Usually we start at noon because I'm like, this is going to be a long one. And we interviewed Jen Welch. Jen Welch, I don't know if she's ever acknowledged this on Keith and the Girl before, but she was raped by a comedian who she outed in the community, but people kind of protected him and it didn't really ever
Some of those people are not invited back on the show.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
A lot of people protected this person and I didn't know Jen when it happened, but this happened to be a person that I also dated and a person who got me pregnant and was...
I was not out that week. I was so mad at him.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
I didn't know all this backstory, but you were being so nice about it. You're like, I think he's ghosting me, but like...
Yeah.
I'm, you know...
He ghosted me. Well, he was super attentive to me pre-abortion, which it's interesting. I found out on the episode the reason why is because he wanted me to take care of it so badly because he was dating multiple other women while we were sleeping together. I agreed to have sex unprotected with him because he told me he wasn't sleeping with other people, and he was. He was also with an ex-girlfriend who was living in a different city and said they broke up. They were always together. So this person, within a span of like 4 or 5 months, had like impregnated me, been having unprotected sex with multiple women, raped Jen, and just was this master. He was a very manipulative person, but he appeared to be so like pathetic and a mess that everyone kind of shielded him. And it was really...
He spoke a really good game. And I'll tell you what, like...
Does he? Because to me, he's like, I don't know, lumpy.
Oh, he's very
lumpy. That's what it is, though, is that you're like, this idiot, I don't know. I want to... It's hard to explain because, and the interview was a lot of us being like, I look back and I'm like, how did I fall for this? But so many people fell for it because
he's such a manipulator because he uses the program. He's in a program. He's probably in several.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, it's like Landmark. They have really good tools. They have really good ways of pushing through to the other side. And they have the language where they can make you feel excited. Mm-hmm. And they know how to... You know, programs teach you a lot of those things. Now, you could either use it for good or you could use it to manipulate people.
Sure.
Easily, like, you know, nice people can manipulate people. People who know how you function... you could just manipulate people, but you have to have that shittiness in you. And he did. And who knew? Because part of it is like, he's so lumpy. It's like,
how could he be smarter than me?
You know?
I don't know. I didn't know the extent of everything that was going on until she made a rape allegation. I stayed away from her for a little bit because I didn't know her. And I wasn't going to be like, hey, I don't know you. Nice to meet you. Did this guy rape you? Like, that seems so... Right. It seems gossipy and a very weird way to approach someone about something that's like life altering. So I waited for a long time, and then I eventually spoke to her in person, and then we just sat down and talked for like hours and hours and hours about this whole thing. She has been through a lot of trauma therapy and like understands the breadth of the whole situation. And then it was crazy to like talk about our parallel experiences and be like, oh, he did that. He also did that to me. And like, this is what he was doing with this. It was crazy. So eventually we decided to do a podcast about it. And Emily asked the questions as like the third party sort of witness, I guess. And so we formatted it like, I will tell my story with him, and then Jen will tell her story with him, and we're talking to one another like throughout, you know, I say this and she goes like, oh yeah, and then he did that to me, and then blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not so two narratives. And then we tell our story of how we met and sort of like what we found out, and other women, there's other women in the community that have been exposed to this person. Some of them came forward and then some chose not to. Like, it was just, anyways, so this, it was
so crazy.
A monster of a podcast.
Yeah. So when we, and you even went late, I think it was like,
I went half hour late. So I was like, it starts at 11. We should be done by 2. And I was like, we're not even close. It could have been a 6-hour podcast. And I think we might've covered everything.
And she describes the rape?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, why, when it's in the comedy community, it didn't get to me. I'm not a comic per se, but it didn't get to me. If she already added it to people that can affect her career, why are you people not saying it on that show?
I think saying his name, you mean?
Yes.
She did say his name publicly online.
Right. Well, why not go, this is one step further. Wouldn't you, people that can really affect his career, I think almost would be regular people
number
as
one,
opposed to comedians.
And this is not really relevant, but just so we're clear, he doesn't have a career. Am I right?
Yeah. He no longer does stand up.
Okay. Now it's more important.
Sure. I think that she didn't want to name him, which is, I think that she dealt with, when she outed him, a bunch of people affiliated with a certain venue met with her and were like, we're going to support you. He then spoke to those people and kind of made it seem as if she misunderstood. There was a boundaries issue. He doesn't want his career to be ruined. He doesn't know. The same type of manipulation that we're talking about. Like, I don't know. I can't believe this is happening. I didn't mean for this. I'm in recovery. I'm this guy. I'm trying my best. So those people that said they would support her, then
he knows how to work on people's empathy.
Yes.
Because he pours the shit out of me.
I mean, you're not sleeping with him though.
I was there when you guys clicked. Am I right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah,
and I was like, he was speaking a really good game. I was into it. I was like, this guy's cool. This guy, you know, there's an enlightenment to knowing a lot about, you know, how people tick. And that's kind of what you learn in the rooms. And he's a manipulative fuck. So if you have that with you and the information on how to make people feel empathetic towards you, it's look at the leaders, the Christian leaders. What do you call those evangel? What's the word?
Evangelist.
Yeah. How they, millions of people, they tell them like, you know, send me money and I'll send you water that's holy. And it's happening. He's like a shitty version of that.
Well, he picks on sober people. He
newly has a sober pattern. People.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. We can manipulate the fuck out of you
Uh-oh.
Right now.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to wear a tighter shirt to work tomorrow, Keith.
You know what? It does make sense.
For your sobriety.
Oh, by the way, for keeping count, yes. Every day I saw Andrea in a towel.
Yes. Nice. Or am I manipulating you? I am the CEO of this company.
Yes, you are.
She outed him and had a very mixed reaction to it. The people that said would protect her then kind of were like, don't, maybe you spoke too soon. Let's not be hasty. Right. And I think she also tried to file a police report. She did file a police report, but they were shitty. Of course they were shitty to her, right. You know? So I think she's been through so much already. Outing someone, not feeling resounding support all around. She definitely did have support, but there are people who pushed back on her. And so
it more changed her career equally as much as it changed his. He's not in comedy because of this. He's not in comedy because he's a shitty comic.
Totally.
You know, he's got some interesting stories because he's been in the ditch a lot, but.
And he was running so many lies at the same time that I think he just ran back to LA with his tail between his legs because I think he realized if people start talking, all these connections like are going to start being made. I have all these different women. Like, how could you? I don't even know how you could fill your day lying to so many people. So she preferred not to say his name, I think, just to not bring that whole memory and feeling back in case he does hear it, in case he reaches out to her.
Did she ever talk to him? That's what people are doing nowadays.
No, I don't think so. Not that I know. And also we didn't want it to seem as if we were trying to make a spectacle out of it. Like I think a lot of people react to rape victims as if they want attention. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't want to.
It's so funny because we're happy to give me attention for my tumor. We're happy to give him attention because he quit alcohol, but a rape victim, we're like, you attention whore.
Right. That's a very common reaction to it. So it was just, the story is powerful.
And how many times have you spoke about being robbed? I think it's similar. She was robbed. Do you know what I mean?
Of her sanity for a while. Yes. Yeah. So we didn't want there to be any room for that. Like, you guys are smearing someone's reputation, you know, for your podcast, you're immoral. I think we could very easily name him. I also think that people who...
It's like on the tip of my tongue and I'm like, no, because it's your guys' choice. And I'm like, how could we get... What if I tell you guys that I'll like leak it to Jerome and then you follow Jerome and on Tuesday at 4:20, he'll tweet out a random tweet and it'll mean this.
I mean, people who know us will know it's him. People know about him for sure. She told people in LA, people in New York know, people know. I don't think people know the extent of the damage that he caused, but now they will if they hear it and they know.
Well, it sounds incredible. And yeah. She texted me later that day saying that you guys made her feel really comfortable and it was a really good show for her.
Good.
As well.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad. I was very nervous. I was like, we have to make sure we plan beforehand. Like, this is what we're going to talk about. We sent it to her. We had it printed out for her.
And you guys never do that. In fact, part of the fun of the show is they ask people why...
Who raped you? You got raped. I got raped. We all got raped.
I like when you ask people why they think that they're a hot mess, but you have the list in front of you.
Yeah. Yeah, we got you too, huh?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
We all paid hard for that episode. So it was just, I got emotional at the end. It was great. It was a great.
But by the time we walked in.
Sure. I'm like, hey, guys.
And we're like, apparently there's more news, Andrea. Let's get in the photo booth.
Hey, you want to get in the... give a shit. Get in the photo booth. Hey, you're doing some weird thing. I don't care.
So what did you think after that emotional roller coaster? Was it emotional for you to hear Keith is not drinking?
Yeah, in a positive way. I was so happy. Like, very happy. Thank God. Fucking drunk Jesus. Took you 40 years. Yeah, you super don't have a problem.
Well, now I'm going to find out what you're doing at work and there's going to be some problems.
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I was really happy. It was like, I don't know, I had my boyfriend come over afterwards, after that day, because I'm like, I just need someone to hang out with. Because it wasn't a bad day. It was a great day. Like, we talked, we had a powerful episode with someone who really seemed to be able to tell their story. And I was very happy to also be able to tell my smaller version, you know. And then you had a great moment and there was so much positive reaction to it. I thought it was great. You know, it's like, it's a privilege to be in the studio when things like that happen. That's a part of why I love this show and have been involved. Like, it's important.
And that's why you're the CFO.
That's why I own this company, because I believe in it and it's the mission statement. But it's just like, you know, it's just a lot. It's a lot of one day. And tomorrow, Hemdo will get the tumor again. And the next day, we'll put a burn victim in here and we'll confront him. We'll throw acid in his face.
Perfect. I'm glad you're the producer.
Yeah.
Executive at that.
People say, what are you hiring at Keith McGraw? I go, whatever you want to be. I got my list of shit you have to do, and whatever you want to be, call it.
It's Keith and the girl. Do you?
Right.
I think one thing that I liked about listening to you talk, especially when you were like, after the evening's festivities, you were like, this is ridiculous.
Right.
And that's kind of how I felt at the end of my run. And I was way more ridiculous than you were. Like, I outwardly did more ridiculous things, but the end of it wasn't like, it wasn't a big event. Like, that wasn't, I mean, it was dangerous,
right?
Your evening, but not, you didn't get in a shootout with the cops or, you know.
Yeah. Crash a car.
Yeah, exactly. But it like, I liked the sentiment of like, you know, how can I not look at this and be like, come on, you know? I think a lot of people think that people's bottoms are often like, I ruined my life. And like, a lot of people will ruin their life slowly and eventually it'll just take it. Eventually something will happen and you'll just be like, oh, come on. You know, how can I be this and not look at this? And like, I think that was, I don't know. I think that was important. That's why a lot of people feedbacked in, like, I have to fully look at myself.
Are you, Keith, nervous about any particular guests coming in? Because I remember years ago when we first started,
this
like
rapist.
Oh, he's not coming in.
No, I want him in.
Ooh, that would be a good. My name is Keith.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be so good.
I don't know how
we'll work it out by accident.
I don't know how that person would react to hearing the rapist would react to hearing the allegations, because I think he's so in denial of his own shit that I think he would talk it away.
Yeah.
Well, of course he would. He would deny it, then be offended he was bamboozled, and then mm-hmm. walk out if he has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that'll be my new shows.
Mm-hmm.
10-minute shows. But the audience knows what's up.
First guest, Mike Guild. Vegan Jules comes in.
Yeah, was it? No, not him. It was another Mike Matera was sober, right? And you would put a shot in front of him knowing that he's just a...
Oh, can I do that now?
Because he was a dry drunk, you know, and actually it's so interesting. You can tell that people are about to relapse because they're just holding on, mm-hmm. you know? And you used to do that. Jesse Joyce, you definitely did.
I don't
know
if I did it to Michael, did I? I wouldn't care if I did. But Jesse Joyce, I did, but I knew he was under control. I thought that was the joke.
Yeah, and Mike Materi, I don't think you cared about. So you're like, here, do this. And if you're doing it here, then great for me.
You can do that in AA meetings. That's how you'll make friends. Mm-hmm. You'll whiff it around them. Oh, it's so good.
I'll trade this for a donut.
Let's address this. I was like, okay, before the show, I was like, by the way, I will go with you to an AA meeting. And like,
before today's show.
Yeah. It like fell out of his face before I could even blank. He goes, oh God, no. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, what did I do?
Because you don't, I'll answer that.
Oh, you already know. Okay.
Well, I think I'll answer that. I think that AA meetings are a place to be really, really honest about yourself and your behavior. And if you have someone that maybe you hurt along the way, you might feel weird saying stuff about.
Yeah, even if you lived with somebody for so many years, and then you can't help but even if you're getting something pure out,
mm-hmm.
you can't help but think like, was that good enough for them?
Yeah,
agree. I get that.
Also anonymous. You know what I mean?
Right.
Totally. He just, you know, you said that you wanted people to go with you, and I thought like that would be good. I totally get it.
Enabler.
No, but I also think that like, I wasn't certain you were going to talk in the first meeting. So you just wanted to like, because I didn't talk in mine. A lot of people don't. So you just want like somebody to physically, literally go with you. And so then I volunteered. I'm just like, well, I can go with you to there and like do my own thing and then go afterwards. And I think he was trying to stop himself from rolling his eyes. So I stopped there.
Yeah. I mean, I think I go with Libby. But me and Libby started going together years out of us, both of us stopping. And even when I go with Libby, like Libby might say something personal, then she'll just be like, hey, just, you know, that was for that room. Mm-hmm. And I totally get that. I'm like, yeah, we work together. So I get it. This is the like spill your guts room.
I agree. I only now invited Anne to my meeting because I'm like, if I speak now, I feel better about it. And that is a holy room, for mm-hmm. lack of a better word. I now invited a couple of other people. And I thought about it more than once because that's my safe space. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to not talk because one of my friends are in the room.
Yeah, totally.
I bring people in and then I passively aggressively talk about them. And shit they're up to.
I'm sure people do that.
Oh, I bet you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure that you are like so transparent when you do that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was telling Keith too, like when I first stopped drinking, when I started recording Hot Mess, I had a few guests in that I thought I had wronged me in the drinking years.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to hear them be like, oh, no. Don't you remember you did this, this, and this? I showed up at your apartment 3 times. You were always too drunk. So I had to walk home at 2 a.m. And then, you know, you did this. And so it's like, there are those moments where you think that you were right, but you were under a haze of drinking so much.
I remember that coming at you. And it was so exciting. It was like, this is the person I used to sleep with. Fuck that guy. And I'm like, yeah, fuck that guy.
Fucking asshole, Trey Gallion.
Yeah. And then he came on and he started talking. I'm like, ooh.
But then you can picture these people making it up too. So you never know.
I think with that, both of you were wrong. Trey and you, terrible.
Yeah.
Just terrible. You did terrible things. I think he did terrible things. But she fucking took it like a champ. This is, I mean, you come in there and you go like, now Trey's going to know about him.
Bitch. Oh, shit.
Yes. You were like, okay, I apologize. Mm-hmm. And it was really, you know what? It was beautiful and it was funny.
And now you go to meetings together. You and Trey.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, we hang out. He loves it.
I also want to mention that you guys have your first full-on live show. You did a 10-minute mess. That was
an hour-long mess.
Hilarious.
Thank you.
And now you're doing like the full episode with Joe
Firestone.
Yes, mm-hmm. which is like an incredible get.
Yeah.
I will be there. Keith will be there. What's he doing? He's
not drinking. Thank you. Yeah, I don't think so.
It's a tempting, you know, that establishment. I can't be pushed.
Sure. Oh, I'll bring you a club soda. You're coming.
What's the date on it?
It is September 9th at 5 p.m. It's part of the Cinderblock Comedy Festival. It is going to be ridiculous. It is $5 admission, and we have all the ticket links on our social media, so you can just go to Hot Mess Comedy Hour on Instagram or our Facebook page. On my Instagram page, you got the link. The links are everywhere.
No way you can't find this.
Yeah, and it's going to be awesome. Joe's really wonderful.
Is this true? If you have majorly wronged either Andrea or Emily, mm-hmm. you can get in for free and you get to sit in the front row.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Email
Please.
Us.
Bring it.
Oh, that'd be so fun.
We will have an acid spray gun so we can do like a front row fun thing.
Well, what can I tell you? Andrea Allen, tax attorney. You're fantastic as always.
Thank you so much, LLC.
And that's what's up, eh?
Hey.